I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
For Must Have Seen TV, the podcast dedicated to the sitcoms of the 20th century from I Love Lucy, the News Radio. I'm your TV guide, Brett White, and I'm also a reporter, producer for Decider.com. This week is a special all-stars edition of the podcast, welcoming back to the show three-peat guest Sam Walker and duopoly guest?
Duosus.
Ricky Purdon. Hi, Sam and Ricky.
Yeah. Hi, Brett.
Hi, how's it going?
Great.
It's going.
Yeah, so the last time, so me and Ricky talked about Adam's Family over a year ago.
Yes, not last.
October 2017.
Wow, so far ago.
God, yeah. Oh geez.
Things are so different.
And then I put Sam through a weirdo sitcom gauntlet. Of watching a Bewitched episode where Darren got magical, thought he had magical powers, mm-hmm. and then a Brady Bunch episode with a UFO scare.
Oh, that sounds awesome.
But we saw so many amazing outfits.
Yeah, it was a lot of really great, amazing outfits.
It was great.
For this one, I was like, okay, well, what's a show you actually want to watch? Although, the Brady Bunch and Bewitched are great shows.
Yeah.
Those are just
they're great. Very weird
episodes.
Yeah. Even though I'm not so sure that the one we watched tonight is not as weird as those in its own way.
It's not.
We'll it's weird in its own way. This week we're traveling to May 23rd, 1993. Sliver ruled the box office. That's the Way Love Goes by Janet Jackson topped the charts, and Fox aired the Married with Children episode, The Proposition. Sam and Ricky, you must have seen The Proposition before today.
Yes. I'm pretty sure I did.
I've seen it so many times, because there's a gag that happens in it that I remember now I definitely could quote from memory.
Oh, which one? Really?
It was when Kelly keeps passing out.
Oh, right.
And Bud is like, I got you, Kel. And then he like giggles in this like mischievous like little elf way that cracks me up so much. It's so funny. So I've seen that bit over and over and over and over again. So I must have seen this episode several times.
So were y'all married with children? Did y'all grow up in married with children families?
Yes.
Like it was allowed in your house?
Yes.
It was. And then Simpsons came on. And I remember in the fifth grade telling my mom, I wanted to watch The Simpsons, and she was like, you can't, because Bart doesn't respect his family. He's mean to his parents. And I was like, well, Married with Children is like that, too. And then she goes, okay, you can't watch Married with Children anymore.
No.
Oh,
and I ruined it for myself.
Oh, no!
And then I shut up immediately. I was like, oh, this is bad. Let's just talk about this for a second. let's give it a couple of days, and we'll talk about it. So I almost ruined it for me, myself, but... I couldn't watch Simpsons, but I could definitely watch Married with Children, which in hindsight makes no sense.
No, not at all.
Because the Simpsons are fake, not real.
Right.
Yeah. And also, I think the Simpsons probably has more tenderness.
100%. There's heart in there a lot.
It's true. But, like, we watched Married with Children, and I feel like we watched it, like, as a family. As a family show. Yeah, because, like, and rewatching it, I'm realizing... because I know other kids weren't allowed to watch, like, Simpsons.
I was not allowed to watch
Roseanne.
Either of those.
Yeah.
Could you watch Roseanne?
No. Well, Roseanne, Simpsons, and Married with Children were like the three shows that I could not watch. I was not allowed to watch.
What grade were you in at the time that like Married with Children and Simpsons was
I was born in 84.
Okay.
So
I was like fourth, third.
I mean, in 93, I'm turning nine.
Yeah.
When this episode aired. I was basically nine. And I wasn't allowed to watch any of them.
Well, what else were you not allowed to watch when you were a kid that you remember?
Just
now?
Those three.
That's it?
And Ren and Stimpy. My parents didn't want me to watch Ren and Stimpy.
I watched all of these shows.
Yeah.
A lot.
The connecting thread for my censorship was Fox. Like, I remember at the time, ABC, NBC, CBS, like, those were networks. But Fox came out and was like, we're a keg party next door.
Right, yeah.
We're going to get nuts all night long. You don't know what's going to... A boob could pop out.
Yeah.
You have no idea what's going to happen. And so the commercials were intense and it was nuts. And so I think my mom was like, no, you can't watch anything on this network.
Yeah, really. So like that... Because I remember Fox... So Fox debuted, like, basically it's like, oh, it's a new network? Yes. Like, we've had these three for 40 years. Yes. Here's a fourth one now? It has Arsenio.
Yes, Arsenio.
And, like, In Living Color. It was...
In Living Color.
And Married with Children was, I think, the first show.
I think...
It was the Fox's
first... Like, the first original
Like,
show?
That and the, fucking, what's her name? Tracy Ullman.
Tracy Ullman and
Joan Rivers had a late night
show. Joan Rivers had a late night show, but that went away. But Tracy Ullman, you're right. Tracy Ullman
Because the Simpsons was a spinoff of that. So, like, Married with Children as a show is, knowing that it debuted in, like, 86?
86,
like,
87,
spring 86,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah.
It also blows me away that, like, this is season 7 we're going to be talking about, and it's 1993.
I know. I did not realize that it started that, like,
early.
I was
like, God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
So, it started, and you can definitely see this is... I often call the 80s a wasteland of sitcoms.
Oh.
Because I don't really care about family sitcoms. Right. Like Workplace. And 70s is a heyday of like workplace sitcoms.
Yes.
Right.
The 80s is like Growing Pains, all the TGIF stuff starts, Family Ties, Cosby Show. It's so Married with Children, you can definitely tell, is like the Fox is like, yeah, we'll do a family sitcom.
Yeah.
And he sticks his hand down his pants and there's slime all over the opening credits for some reason.
Yes.
It's like, it is more aggressive than Roseanne.
Right.
Yes. Yes. Well, it's more aggressive, but it's also wacky.
Oh,
like,
God.
It's
a cartoon.
Yeah, exactly.
It's
like,
a cartoon.
I was like, it feels like Family Guy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so, and I feel like that's why, like, it was fine to watch. And no, like, my parents just thought it was funny because it was just so wacky. Like, and I remember knowing as a kid, like, I did not feel like I, you know, these were cool people to emulate.
No.
It was like, these are clearly TV ridiculous, like, monsters.
Yeah,
like,
monsters.
For me, growing up, being born in 84 and growing up with Fox being this aggressive button pusher, like, Cops was on.
Cops!
Yes!
I still, you know, it is 2019. Fox is now, like, a norm, like, but does Fox still hold a little bit of, like, sauciness?
I think so.
For people that are our age that knew when it started and how, like, taboo it was?
I feel like Tim Allen has that one show that was on, like, CBS or whatever.
It was on ABC, now
ABC.
It's on Fox.
And then when it got to Fox, it was like, now you've got some Red Bull and... a cigar and some Cool Ranch Doritos, Tim Allen, get nuts.
Yeah. Like, I think Fox thinks that they are... I think Fox still thinks they hold
that still, like,
thing.
Edgy.
And I think we, as people who grew up with him, know just that Fox just doesn't have good taste. Because there's so many good shows that go to Fox and then die.
The Mick! Why did you cancel The Mick?
The Mick or Firefly.
Yes.
Or, like, that one show, Drive.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine, they killed that.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Which is back in its rightful home.
I can't believe that was on Fox.
I know. It's not a Fox show. It was going to be an NBC show.
It's like New Girl was on Fox. Which I love New Girl. It's one of my favorite shows. But it's like, that is a weird tonal.
Yeah.
But I still think of Fox as being the home of Married with Children and The Simpsons, which is still the home of The Simpsons.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be, I guess, until the end of time.
Yeah.
I haven't watched it.
So this week on Must Have Seen TV, we're going to be talking about the Married with Children episode, The Proposition. It is the 26th episode of season 7.
Wow.
Plus 26 episodes in a season. That is ridiculous.
Episodes.
And was written by Arthur Silver and directed by Jerry Cohen. Here's how Hulu describes the episode. When Coco, a cosmetic millionaireess and former girlfriend of Al's, arrives, she makes an indecent proposal by offering Peggy $500,000 for one night with Al.
Mm.
Ricky and Sam, how accurate is that description?
Very accurate. Yeah.
That's perfect. The only thing it doesn't describe is that Al at one point spills soda on his pants.
Uh huh.
Right. Everything else. Is
also, is it one night, or does she want him to go on a whirlwind?
I thought she was buying him as a husband.
I think what I got was that she wanted him to go away with her, and he was like, "I can't." And then she was like, "All right, I want to take you for one night."
Okay.
And
there was a little bit transactional that I didn't pick up on.
Yeah, and the overall aesthetic of the show reminds me now in hindsight of that Nickelodeon show You Can't Do That on Television.
Oh, God, yeah. Yeah.
Where, like, everything's really, like, kitschy and, like, kind of gross and, like, old patterns.
It's and, a
like,
brown and yellow show.
Yeah, and there's, like, slime. Yeah. You send them a logo. And, like, yeah, Peg has, like, a cartoon.
So the opening credits of the show...
Don't understand them.
...is... So, being a kid, I wasn't on the Watch Married with Children, but I've seen, like, the first 2 seconds of it a bajillion times, because that's before I could change the channel.
Right.
But just, then
but, like, it hits you so in the face of just, like, an old-timey song, but what hits is, like, married slam with children, the green slime over
and
it.
There's a fountain and like a sky shot of like a highway. Yeah.
And then the first thing you see is Ed O'Neill sticking his hand down his pants while watching TV.
Which I have tried several dozens of times, and I don't know what that's supposed to imply. Is he trying to touch his wiener?
I think he's, or is he just, has an itch.
Is that where he puts his hand?
I think that's where
the
he puts
he can, his pants are high. The farthest he can get down is maybe the top of his pubic hair.
I just always figured, like, he was itchy and just, and was gross.
And he just puts his hand in there. I don't know what he's doing. Is he keeping it warm? I've never understood that.
I think, is it just comfort?
Maybe it's like, instead of a pocket.
I feel like that's just, like, kind of a universal, like, I'm a man and I'm gross. It's like a, I don't know if it has any intention
like
other than that.
Pouch.
Yeah, I think that
like,
might
I'm
be...
I'm
going to
put my hand there. Anyways, yes.
I am fascinated that all three of us have lived with this for 30 years and we're
no
now have like kind of different takes on
are UFOs real and did
what
did,
does the hand
did
in the
Al
pants
Bundy
mean?
Try to touch his wiener with his hand
but yeah I remember because like so I watched the show a lot and you know it was like a fine show and we would watch it and whatever but I do remember every time the credits would come on feeling a little icky.
Gross.
Because of the song sounded weird.
Feeling
gross. The slime was weird. He put his hand in his pants.
Yeah.
You just felt a little unsettled.
It's
like,
a very unsettling. It's kind of, so like, I said this about the Cheers theme song is similarly unsettling because it's like, why is it like 1901? Everything is brown. The song is so sad, but then it gets like nostalgic and you feel emotions.
Yeah.
And then it's like, and then this is just like, is why is there slime and why is there a carriage and the song?
Yes.
It's very catchy.
The carriage. I've thought about those lyrics dozens and dozens of times.
Here's the other thing. Having never watched a show as a kid, the title of it, Married with Children, always made me think that it was a step-by-step dealy where they literally got married but already had children.
And had kids.
Like the son was his and the daughter was hers.
Right.
I honestly think I might not have realized that they're both their children.
Yes.
Until late last year when it was added to Hulu and I had to write about it for work. I think I might have operated with this fake notion.
I mean, that's fine because it's like, I mean, because when you watch the show, clearly they're both their children. But, like, Peg and Kelly have such that, like, look. And then Al and
Bud,
yeah, they look like, they clearly each go together as sets.
And also the title, Married, they got married with children.
Yeah.
I don't really understand. Yes. You know what? Now in hindsight, I've never thought about this before. They must have had kids out of wedlock and then.
Oh, is that other?
No,
that?
No. I just always took it as your status. Yeah. Like you're either you're single, you're married, or you're married with children.
Like a census.
Again.
Yeah.
We all three have lived with these different ideas of what it's what a fucking riddle this show was.
It's so deep. But yes.
So the episode begins and they're in the dark and you get a runner. So this is another just general, like, we're going big macro.
Yeah, let's go macro.
The audience for this show is rowdy as fuck.
I
always thought that Step by Step, and this is the thing that I've thought about obviously, that Step by Step had the rowdiest audience in TV because anytime a cute boy walks in, you're hearing the woos. Anytime there's a kiss, you're hearing the oohs.
Yeah.
They just are thirsty for it. This audience, it's honestly like they're shooting a Springer in front of a shooting a sitcom in front of a Springer audience.
Yeah.
It feels like a Jerry Springer.
It feels like you're at a bar. Instead of the Super Bowl, everyone's watching Mary with
Children. Yeah, and they are into it.
And so
they're so pumped.
And it's kind of horny. Everyone fucking like freaks out.
Yeah,
they lose their mind.
There's just so many, like, there's whistling. I think even at the beginning, you hear an audience member go, woo!
Yeah!
Like,
yeah.
Barking! Like, it's so weird!
Yes.
So the beginning of it is that they're in the dark and you're hearing, like, oh, the God can put it in, like, you know, take your time.
Dude,
oh, I know what I'm doing.
I don't feel it.
Will, you just have to be patient.
Well, I don't want to be disappointed again.
Any minute now, trust me. I know how this works.
Well, you did it. You did pay the electric bill.
It's like, I don't think that if you go back knowing that and listen to the conversation,
it doesn't make it make any sense.
It doesn't make...
Yeah, I definitely not pay like the cable bill on time, but you have to call and get it paid, and then it comes back on again. Like, he's like, yeah, I told you I paid the electric bill. Like, when did it happen? They're obviously in bed, so it's nighttime. Like, when did the transaction of money to electricity happen so that he could be like, see, told you. It's just very confusing. Maybe
yeah, did he like prepay the electricity and say like, turn it on at like 11
p.m.? And we need to turn it on at this exact moment. Like 9:15, we're going to be in bed.
Because we need to then immediately go to sleep.
Yes, yeah, they go to sleep right away.
And then they double down on the whole like, you know, sexual entendre. And
yeah,
like,
ooh, you're ready to do it. And they like, do what we always want to do. And then they just... go to their opposite sides of the bed, turn off the lights, and go to sleep, and it's like, Peg, you're still touching me.
Yeah.
Boom.
But I think it also touches on what the show... The show is a cousin to shows like Roseanne in that it's like a working class dude, but it's a cartoon version of that.
Yeah.
And he's constantly dealing with money problems, and it speaks to like the premise of this episode in general, which is like, they get presented with $500,000 for your dad to sleep with this lady. Like, yeah, that could change our lives. But they don't really talk about how it could change their lives. They're just, like, very greedy.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And so, like, the show speaks to an audience who have the same issues that a Roseanne audience would have to deal with, but deal with the jokes and the situation in a much more raunchy way.
Yeah, they just like...
a broad way.
Yeah, we got those problems. We don't really want to think about it.
I don't
want
to talk about... Yeah, I don't
whereas
actually...
Whereas Roseanne's like, no, we're going to talk about how you can't go to college.
Yeah, yeah,
something.
Yeah. You're going to feel something.
DJ keeps going to the bathroom to masturbate for hours at a time.
Let's is talk that about, an like, episode?
Yes.
It's mentioned he hangs out in the bathroom like for hours sometimes.
I think I remember that.
But like, it's like a joke, but like in this, it's like cartoonishly like, we're very poor, and we have nothing in our house... and nothing to look forward to in our futures, but don't really think about it. Think about this goofy, like, cartoonish version of it. So I love this episode speaks to a lot of those points. Yeah.
So the kids break in, or bust into the room, to like tell them to turn on TV, because there's a woman on TV who says she went to Polk High with, like, you know, the parents, with the
same
Al
year,
Peggy.
Yeah.
And they turn on the TV, and it is a... the first thing you see is, like, is a pretty woman in, like, a pantsuit, miniskirt pantsuit kind of thing. And the first thing I think the talk show host says is, like, stand up! Yes. Look at her!
Let's look at her.
Turn around!
Give us
and
a
the
spin.
And that's another point where, like, the live audience goes crazy!
Yeah.
And I didn't realize... It made a little bit more sense, because I did not realize who the woman was, but it's Vanna White.
Yeah, Wheel of Fortune!
Which made a lot more sense why everyone was excited. But yeah, the outfit she's wearing is just... the dowdiest, saddest, like, skirt, pantsuit thing, and, like, pearls, and it's just so frumpy
and
looking.
No,
it's
curves.
Like, you can't see her body at all.
No
curves,
and you realize that there, so he's doing the whole, like, get up and give us a spin, because she's, like, a lifestyle guru type person with, like, health and beauty products
makeup
that are...
makeup and lotions.
It's a kind of a vague thing.
But then she also mentioned something about, like, did she imply that people get liposuction and she makes money
off
of
that? Yeah, something about, like,
and
that
she does, too. She's like, I can eat anything I want, then I just suck it out. It's, like, a really broad 90s joke.
There's a lot going on.
Yes.
And so he realizes, like, he's like, oh, yeah, that's not Coco, that's... whatever her name is.
I can't remember
her name. Oh, it was some crazy name.
Linda LeBlanc.
Yeah.
It was, like, Helen Gerbelflob.
Yeah, something weird.
It was, yeah.
He's like, we used to date.
You really know her, Al?
Well, I don't want to say anything in front of the kids, but she, she co-piloted the Starship Bundy a couple of seasons.
Which is a great lie.
I've never heard that metaphor.
It's so stupid.
And also, I feel like that metaphor is very weird for Al Bundy to make.
Yeah.
See, I mean, is he watching Star Trek The Next Generation at this time a lot?
He's like, I'm a Deep Space Nine fan.
Wait, who was the pilot on Next Generation?
Next Generation's pilot was Data, no?
Was it
Data?
Data?
I assume. He's always like...
Yeah, I don't know.
But, yeah.
What does Riker do?
He's
number one.
Yeah, he's number one. Second
he's the Spock, but Spock was also a science officer.
Yeah.
Yes. Riker was there for Smolder.
Wait, was there no science officer on Next Gen?
Was Data not the science officer?
Maybe
Data
was the
science
officer. What was
Geordi was engineering.
Who? What was Ralph? Or what was his name?
Worf was security. Ralph.
Ralph.
Ralph was playing piano with Guinan.
Yeah.
He's a Muppet.
So basically, original series, Al Bundy had sex with Sulu. Right? So Sulu was the pilot of...
Sulu was the pilot originally. You're absolutely right.
So there you go.
Right.
That's what I was trying to get. Anyway. So basically, like, this scene is just a setup that, like, Coco is a person that exists and at one point had sex with Al and no one believes him.
Right.
And then we cut to the next day at his work and the first thing we hear is, like, stop, he stole my lunch. And then we see Al running as fast as he can into the shoe store
at the
holding,
mall.
Like, a cup and a Subway sandwich.
Yes. Right, yes. Like, he just...
And then ducks behind the counter so that no one can see him.
And the cops run by from there.
With their guns out!
Because they're going to shoot the guy who took the Subway sandwich. Yeah.
So, is this something that he... does he often steal... There's a whole lot of, like, they're starving jokes in this
episode. There are a lot.
Well, there are a lot in the series. Like, there are episodes where they go without eating. There was an episode where... I remember... Bud and Kelly find out that there's an M&M that fell underneath the oven and they start fighting over it. Like, they're so hungry, they're fighting over an M&M that fell beneath
That's
the oven.
It's deeply
dark,
sad.
It's dark, sad stuff. And so they generally
okay,
as a joke to show how poor they are, they don't eat. And so Al stole someone's food. Yes.
So that's not... So that is not just them specifically trying to play this up for the Coco storyline.
No.
This is just the thing they do
all
the time.
They just are poor.
Okay.
Yeah, they're very poor.
And so... The very first customer of the day is Coco.
She walks in.
She walks in and she doesn't want a BOGO, a shoe, mm-hmm. you know.
Yep.
I worked at a Payless shoe source, so...
A BOGO.
Yeah.
I know my BOGOs.
I know my BOGOs.
I know how to, you know, you gotta display the shoes correctly.
Yeah.
God, I hated that job. Awful 6 months.
Oh, no.
But yeah, so she... And she just wants him.
Yeah.
And it's, like, not explained why.
Yeah.
It's just she's got, like, laser focus, like, proton torpedoes aimed right at him.
It's also not explained why she's in town. Like...
She was on TV.
She was on television the night before. I want to say it's Illinois, but I don't know why.
But
I
it's not
say
like
that.
They don't live in like a suburb of New York or LA.
No,
they live
Chicago.
Like it's like somewhere middle America.
But they just gloss right over the fact that she was just on television the night before,
and it wasn't a local talk show.
No,
no.
And the next day, she's in his shoe store. She found him. This is before Google or Yahoo or Ask Jeeves.
I mean, to be fair, like, because he's still in his hometown, right?
Sure.
But how does she know that he works at the shoe store?
Right, how did she find him?
This is true.
Did she go to every store in town?
Well,
she's rich.
She's rich. She also, like, I mean, she would know people he knows. Her finding him is not weird to me. Her being in town the next day after being on TV is
like
weird
Charlie,
to me.
Also, it's like... Well, I must see Al Bundy, but I have to do this TV show first.
Yeah.
Give
but it's
me
also
the red
like,
eye.
Wait, did we give a reason, like, why she suddenly realized she needed? Because, like, what was her trigger for now suddenly needing Al Bundy back in her life?
Something about, like, she's going on a trip.
She's
going
to be away for a minute, I believe. Yeah, her hormones were...
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Got it.
Can we talk for a second real quick, though, about malls in sitcoms?
Please.
Every time a mall would show up in, like, the Married with Children show or Roseanne, I was always like, as a kid at home who didn't get to go to the mall that day, I'd be like, man, I'm going to go to the mall. I want to go to that mall.
Yeah.
And I always felt cool, like, that stores were set in malls, like, in television shows, because I felt like, oh, yeah... They're just like me, but also I'm kind of at the mall right now because I'm watching the scene at the mall. It's kind of fun.
I always feel like malls on sitcoms are where you're seeing what the line is for set design on a sitcom, what it's capable of pulling off.
Yeah.
Because malls and sitcoms always look... Tables are sparser. They're not really, like, laid out the way it
not
would
super
be.
Good.
Yeah.
I will say that the Al Bundy shoe store, probably because it was a regular set that they were in most every episode, they could have missed the time. But, like, an episode of, like, Full House where they go to the mall, it's like you're seeing some tables with some folded sweaters on them that, for some reason, like, lead directly into the outside area of people. And then there's, like, a hot dog and a stick place behind it. It's like no mall has a food court inside of the JCPenney that is also where the old men sit on the benches. Right, but it's you know, we gotta fit it all on a stage.
Everything on top of each other.
There's a two-parter of Saved by the Bell, the Christmas episode, where they all get jobs at the mall.
What?
Yeah. And I feel like that mall is actually kind of okay because they were like, well, we're spending two episodes here. So,
right,
you know,
right.
It's double money.
I remember whenever they would go to the mall, there was one store, especially early on, where it was like maybe pink and then had that wire metal rack.
So they work at the lunch pail or whatever, the lunch box. It's basically like a diner inside of a Macy's.
If you're shopping at JCPenney's and you get real tired of smoking and shopping, you can swing by and get a grilled cheese sandwich.
I've never experienced that before.
Wait, that just reminds me of something. Back to Married with Children, back to the opening, when Peg is making salad in the kitchen, she's smoking. And I remember that also grossing me out.
Well, so this is the season 7, right?
Yeah, season 7.
Opening. Their original opening has her smoking a cigarette, and she's got long ash on it. She hasn't ashed it for a minute. And it falls into the salad, and she just shrugs and then continues to make that. So you saw the truncated version of it. Anyways.
So Coco wants some Al Bundy lovin'.
Yeah. Starship.
So I like that. Basically, his whole thing is I want you to come home and tell my family all about the sex stuff or something. Just tell my family. He basically is I need you to come and just tell my children about how we used to have sex.
Yes.
Which I feel like is a thing that most TV dads would not want.
No.
Right.
It's kind of I guess in his weird flawed logic, I could understand being come tell my wife that I used to have it, even though we all went to high school together. Which is weird.
She should know.
But also being tell my kids. And even then, I could be tell my son, guess you're proud, but tell your daughter. Come on, man.
David Faustino plays Bud, right?
Yes.
How old is he supposed to be? Because why does he have a full beard?
I know.
At this point,
is he... this is season 7. So they should both be maybe even out of college by this point.
I want to say he's out of high school at this point. And he's got that chin strap beard.
Yeah.
It is nice
chin strap beard.
Yeah, it's a beard.
And it's weird, but it's sad. It's not a good beard.
And at one point he becomes a rapper. I think he calls himself Grandmaster B or something like that. Because in real life, Faustino wanted to be a rapper.
Of course.
And anyways, it's all the... And I think in later seasons, they revealed that that was actually a dream season or something like that. Because my point is, he's so desperate and sad... his character, not David Faustino, he might be a very nice man, but at the time, I think he's supposed to be 21, but he looks he's 28, 30.
Yeah.
At that point.
And
it's just so weird. It's a season 7. So when you do a family sitcom, you have this weird ticking time bomb of children.
Yeah.
Because once you get past season 4, you're going to have to deal with the oldest kids going to college.
Right.
How are you going to deal with that?
Right.
And it's, Full House lucked out, and, I think DJ's senior year of high school is the last season.
Oh.
So it's, they never had to worry about
it.
They really... But, this show ran for, I think, 11 years.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I watched this episode, I was under the impression that Bud and Kelly were in high school still.
I think they both have graduated by this point, but because they're so poor, they're not going to school.
No.
It was just we're going to stay home with mom and dad and
they have jobs?
Living our lives.
I think they have jobs at different points, right? I feel like I remember Kelly having jobs.
They definitely do, yeah.
Because I'm going to... Okay, so as much as I knew these people were not people to look up to, I'm not going to lie.
Uh-oh.
I loved Kelly.
Uh-oh.
I loved her outfits. I loved her hair. I thought she was fun.
She's got some cool outfits in this episode.
Yeah.
She does.
Yeah.
You're right.
So, I remember...
Christina Applegate.
Yeah, it's just her. I just want to be Christina Applegate. Why is that so wrong? I don't understand.
It's also... Did they also stay throughout the entire run, or did they leave at the end? Were they in all 11 seasons?
They were all there the whole time.
That's also wild.
They wouldn't always show up in every episode. I think Al is the only one who showed up in every single episode.
Yeah.
But by the end, they're still around. I want to say at one point Kelly moves out, but I think Bud moves into the garage or the basement for sure.
I love a good character moving rooms episode.
Yeah.
So Coco comes back. Basically, Al goes home and he tells him she's coming and she's bringing pizza. And they're all what are you talking
of
about?
Of course
she's
bringing
pizza. You're
are
crazy.
You kidding me? And then she shows up with the pizza.
Pizza.
Al immediately, he takes the pizza and just starts eating it immediately.
Yes.
And then everyone has... a, like, beginning of 2001 A Space Odyssey, like, chimps around the obelisk, yeah. like, reaction to
Smelling
Coco.
Smelling her. Like, so Bud starts, like, you think, he, like, you think he's, like, looking at her ass, but then you realize, like, he's just, like, touching, getting near her legs and then touching them, and it's, like, weirdly not sexual.
It's weird, it's, just, there's so many, so, like, you, at first you think, oh, he's being a creeper, he's looking at her legs, oh, right. he's touching her legs, that's so gross, but then he says, her stockings are made of real silk. It's like, oh no, he was just touching to see if the stockings were made of silk. And then both Peggy and Kelly start doing
both
it too.
Do it.
And it's
yeah.
like, well, that makes it less creepy.
Yeah.
It makes it really less creepy that all three of them are groping her legs.
Well, it makes
and then,
it...
then she's like, they're not even stockings.
Yeah, this is my skin.
It makes it less creepy that they all do it, but it also just makes it so weird. And I feel like they did that kind of thing all the time. Like, they become sort of, like, really animalistic, right? Like, about
oh, yeah.
certain things.
If someone shows up and has a thing... And they, yeah, they will start, like, surrounding them like apes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, if you've got a television, or you have a nice jacket, or you've got a, you got the smell of something that's better than their lot in life,
mm-hmm.
yeah, they circle you and start smelling you. And I think that's, again, back to the joke of, like, their social standing, and that, and people who were maybe in the same working class situation watching the show on Fox... would laugh at that because it was a cartoonish version of them actually wanting real stuff in life.
Mm. Or it's like, oh, I remember when that neighbor came over and just, like, smelled her legs?
Yeah.
Some weird families found some heroes on this show. So, at this point is when Al Bundy calls himself an OCD.
Oh.
One cool dude.
Yeah.
Which was pretty pretty cool. He eats a bunch of cheese pizza. He has a bunch of cheese on his face.
Yeah.
Coco eats the cheese off his face.
So
which is
romantic.
So weird.
Which,
oh, gross.
I can't handle.
I just like the producers being like, all right, Vanna White, we're going to have a piece of fake cheese hanging off of his face. You have to grab it and then eat it. And it was like a 2-inch piece of like dangling snot cheese.
So this is now like, I can't tell if this makes me have more or less respect for Vanna White, kind of first of all, it's just like, oh, she would do this, but then, oh, she would do this.
Yeah,
right.
But it's like,
I kind of wonder, like, why did she do this?
Yeah,
like, was she trying to expand her acting career?
I think at one point she was. I think at one point she was also in Playboy.
Oh.
I think it might have been around the same time where she was.
Was
like,
it like a, was it like a centerfold? Like, was she naked, or was she just like one of the women in it?
She
and
was
you
featured.
Know this because of your extensive childhood history.
My Playboy experience as a child. She was like when they not a centerfold where they have like the her likes and dislikes and her interests. And she
wait,
likes,
hold on, that's a part of the centerfold.
There's this. Oh yeah, in Playboy when you're
wait,
a centerfold, if you're like Miss July. There's a whole like section where you fill out a questionnaire, which is like, what were you like in high school? What's your favorite hobby? And people would be like, riding horses on the beach.
Like the backs of X-Men trading cards.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's the same thing.
How great are you at tacticianing? Are you, how strong are you versus Colossus?
What's your energy projection? Yeah.
And then, yeah, you fold it out. But then there's other sections that are features sometimes that'll be like, the girls at the Big 12, and it'll be like girls who went to school at the Big 12 colleges, or a celebrity,
so
Shannon Doherty.
Are the centerfolds are naked, right?
Yeah.
But are all the rest of them naked?
Yeah. Well, back then they were, yeah. And so this was a big deal. It was like Vanna White, who's like a girl next door.
I don't know if Pat Sajak would be fine with this.
Yeah, I think he had to suck it up. And it was just like, oh, this is kind of saucy now. And she had this like image of this perfect, nice girl.
Turns letters for a living.
So then she's in Playboy, and then she's in Married with Children, doing all kinds of, like, wearing, like, skimpy outfits. Which
yes.
was too.
Yeah,
so,
well, we're getting to that.
Yeah, that
so I think this was a period where she was kind of reinventing herself a little
wild.
Bit.
Wild.
Yeah.
So this is when we get a truly, like, perfect example of sitcom writing that you talked about earlier. Where, so, like, what, like, someone says about, like, I want to have sex with Al, I want to buy Al or whatever.
Yeah.
Then Kelly does the, like...
Everything tastes better from Al's mouth.
Catch me, bud, I think I'm going to faint.
Okay, Kel.
And then, like, a little bit more business.
Yep.
Someone says something else, then Kelly's like, I'm going to faint, etc.
And it's like, so Kelly's so dumb, she's going to fall again.
Yeah.
And so then I think the act break of the of it is then her being like, I'll pay $500,000, and then everyone faints.
Yes. Faints out, yeah.
And it's just like, that's perfect.
Yes.
It's, I was like waiting for the third, because they did one, I thought that was funny. They did two, I thought that was, okay, good. And I was like, well, rule of threes, it's like classic, after you do a third one. And the fact that they did a third one that also heightened to everyone fainting, I was like, that's good.
Yeah.
Good. Good job. Good job, people. On board. So yeah, she makes the offer of $500,000.
So much money back then, too.
Which, I mean, oh God.
Well, also, like, I mean, if you're, like, a poor family, like, that's everything.
That's,
like,
I mean, that's a hell of a lot of money now.
Yes.
2019,
you could leave your current house and move into a new house in a different state.
I mean, $500,000, even before taxes, is a solid, oh God, math, 10 years of employment?
Yes, yes.
Like,
sure, sure.
Yeah. If you're saying, like, a nice, like, $50,000 a year is, like, a nice mid, like, we are fine. In New York, you know, might be a little bit...
Less Chipotle.
But it's, like, even in 2019, that's so much money.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And she wants it just to have a night with Al.
Yeah.
And she even... It's implying that she wants to go to the Bone Zone with him, right?
Oh, yes, very much.
But it's not explicit. Like, there's no, like, written contract of, like, you owe me two orgasms.
Right. No,
I want insertion or nothing.
She very much states, like, she's like, this, you're the only man who's ever pleased me, and I want it again.
Yeah.
Like, that's pretty much, like, the scope of her
that
contract.
That was it. And it's kind of like, in hindsight, I guess... Like,
romantic, really? Is that what you're gonna
say? Like, it's so
perfect.
Sweet.
It's kind of like really depressing for Vanna White that, like, she's experienced all this crazy fame and fortune and experience throughout life, and the only person who ever did it for her was this, like, dude in high school. And then she goes back, and at no point, this is the other thing, at no point during the episode does she go, ugh, what am I doing?
No.
Yeah, she's into
just
it.
Like, I'm going to do it. You're the guy that I wanted, and 100% what I still want. And
she's
not.
She's as much of a character as, like, the Predator, you know? Like, she's got one goal in mind.
Yes.
And she's like, I am here to hunt and get my prey.
But if this was the same story on, like, Modern Family, which stars Al Bundy now, if some random lady showed up and his wife had to be like, oh, she's going to pay $3 million to sleep with you. At the end of the episode, they wouldn't do it, and it would be Al activating that, and then the woman, the millionaire or whatever, would be like, I'm really sad. This is actually what I'm trying to fill my heart with.
Oh, yeah, there would be, like, a lesson.
And then
she would go on,
and then Al would be closer to his wife. It would be a whole thing.
And also, a modern family, he's fucking rich as hell.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That family
and
is
has
loaded.
The most gorgeous wife. And dog. Oh, my
God. Yeah, I love that
Stella.
Dog.
I was looking at his age. He was 42 when the show started.
Married Children started?
Married Children.
Wow.
He's 49 in this episode.
Can you tell me how old he is now? 72. He's 72 years old.
He doesn't look he's definitely aged. But, like, Modern Family Ed O'Neill and Married with Children Ed O'Neill look the exact same to me in my mind from beginning to end.
Everything he shows up in, I think that's Al Bundy.
What I am blown away by, just a tangent of, like, so in Wayne's World, which was 91, 92. He'd already been Al Bundy for, like, four seasons of that. But when I watch Wayne's World, I'm like, oh, there's Ed O'Neill before he was famous.
That's his first role.
That's his, like, he was probably, like, a comedic actor. It's like, no, they specifically cast, hey, Al Bundy, come be in this movie because you're funny.
I was with the same thing with the movie Dutch that he was in with Ethan Embry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to watch that a bunch as a kid. And I was like, oh, this is the movie he did beforehand. But that came out years later. Same with Kelly with that movie. Christina Applegate was in Don't Tell Mom the Babysitter's Dead.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, this is before she got on the Mary Show.
That's like towards the end of it,
years
right?
Years later, yeah. But you...
It's nuts.
And I'm so surprised that Christina Applegate, Al Bundy, and Peg have broken through their roles in the show.
Yeah, Katie is like...
I mean, yeah, she's, like, gone
Sons
on
of
so
Anarchy
many, like, different
and
crazy
Futurama.
Things.
So, yeah, like, there's one line read in here when I was like, oh, God, that's Leela.
Yeah.
So I never really heard that before, and I was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Because I don't really think of her as having, like, that specific of a voice. But then I, like, all right, oh, God, there it was.
But David Faustino is the only Bundy. He didn't go on to do it.
Well, I feel like he ended up in, like, reality TV?
Maybe, but yeah. Not
but yeah, he's the only one who sort of, like, everybody else went on to go onto these all, like, prestigious, like, projects.
So, during the time when Coco's there, we didn't talk about the neighbors. Marcy.
Oh, yeah. I was about to. So, like, the neighbors come by, they, like, knock on the door, and there are, what's their names? Marcy and Ted McGinley?
Marcy and Ted McGinley.
Yeah, what's the, because she had two different husbands.
Yeah, her first husband's name was Steve.
Oh, does she get divorced during the show and, like, a new guy comes in?
Yeah, I think the guy who played her husband in the first few seasons wanted to go back to theater, so he left. And then she gets...
Well, this was like doing a new play every week, so I don't know what he was talking about.
So she gets... Yeah, he would come back later in different roles, but, like, she gets married to Ted McGinley's character. I can't remember his name now. And he is when they first met, she was drunk, and he's a gigolo.
Oh.
And so she marries a gigolo, and his name is Ted, whatever.
We should watch that episode.
But his last name is Darcy. So Marcy, when she wakes up the next day, she comes in, she's like, I married this guy. And they're like, blah, blah, blah. And then Al's like, oh, you married blah, blah, blah. What's your last name? And he's like, Darcy. And he's like, so you're Marcy Darcy now? And it's the funniest joke when I was a kid. I used to die laughing. But then I would watch Roseanne. At the end of Roseanne, it would be produced by Marcy Carsey. And then I was cracking up too. I was like, is that the same person? What's happening here? Yeah, but yeah, it's Ted McGinley. And he's a Kelly level idiot gigolo.
I also want to bring this up too. So another Roseanne Married with Children thing. In the season of The Conners, one of the episodes, an old flame of Dan's that went to high school. No, I don't know if they ever dated, but she went to high school with Dan and Roseanne, Katie Sagal, came on for an episode to play like the first woman that like was like, hey, I want to date you. Your wife is dead. Like, do you want to, like, hang out? And they, like, went on a date, kind of. And he was like, I'm not really ready. But I wrote an article for work of just, like, make this happen. Yeah. Get her back full time. She is literally the only person.
Yeah.
Because, like, she's got that pedigree of, like, she also was on the most controversial show of all time in the late 80s, early 90s.
Right.
Also, she's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And she can actually act and be funny, whereas Roseanne never could. Well, she was...
Roseanne originally was considered for the Peg role.
Really?
I want to say it was Roseanne and Sam Kinison, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh god, that's a different show.
Sam was later on on Married Children as like I want to say Al Bundy's like guardian angel in an episode.
I mean that kind of makes sense though because like I mean Peg is such like a heightened crazy version of this like. Sex pot 50s, like...
She's great.
Oh, she's amazing, but it's, like, even, like, her little walk, like, it cracks me up. Like,
yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
The little waddle.
It's so ridiculous.
I want to say that she brought that to the show, too. When they were auditioning her and bringing her in for stuff, she wanted to try to dress like a kind of trashy 60s wife to make fun of that... She that was the stereotype that she was making fun of. It wasn't, like, modern wives. It was, like, that wife as a nonsense goofball. So she brought that whole look to the show herself. Yeah.
She, like, also, she's so tall.
Yes.
Like, she's such, like, a superhero looking. Also, because she's wearing a lot of, like, spandex and lycra.
Yeah, and like, heels. She's always in, like, crazy heels all the time.
Her hair is big.
Her hair is giant.
Her cleavage is nuts.
Like, she's great.
I love all of it.
Yeah,
she's so great. Yeah. So, basically, the neighbors come in, and, like, the gigolo, like, uses her... They spend so much time on this bit of, like, he uses her thigh cream
because
his thighs are dry.
He walks in, sits down right next to her,
yeah.
And then immediately puts his hands on her arms and starts, like, caressing her. And I'm just like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
Jesus,
buddy.
Your wife is also right there. And so she's like, but he's like, they keep making
I'm
my
I'm glad life. You're here. I'm being driven to the brink of madness by my dry thighs. I cream and I cream and I cream. But still, my pants want to stick to my thighs.
They kept saying, cream my pants, or cream his pants for cream in the pants. It was kind of like the writers like, let's just see if we can, how many times we can get cream in pants.
Yeah. How many times can you say cat anus?
Yeah. And then, like, it ends with them, like, they insult each other, and then she, like, mounts him fully.
Yes. Well, he straight up calls her a bitch.
Yeah.
And then she mounts him.
Yeah, and it's like, and then they just, like, fall out
Marcy
of the...
and Ted McGinley fall out of the thing. And so, like, infamously, the woman who plays Marcy came out, I think, in 93. And then, a lot of the jokes that Al would make about her in other episodes were about her being a lesbian. Or about her being, having no breasts. about her being.
That's all yeah. this. Well, there's this
he
weird.
He mentions like she has a flat ass and that she has no breasts. Yeah.
He calls her an ironing board. Or that she put disappearing
ink on her boobs.
Vanishing cream, some of Coco's vanishing cream on her boobs.
So see, there's no boobs here. He was always making fun of her and calling her a little boy. He was always really, like, his character was really aggressive about
Did the actor
insults.
Or the character come out as a lesbian?
The actor.
Okay.
The actor did. The actor who plays, I can't remember her name, Amanda.
Well, Beers, there's always this, there's also this weird joke about,
I feel just like I did when I was a little boy and my father said, shake it, son, and the women will pay.
You know, we have 8mm film of his father fan dancing for J. Edgar Hoover.
I was like, that is such a... I'm just like, there's so much to unpack with this. Yeah.
Like, that's,
so
that's a whole other show.
Your dad was a gay or like a burlesque dancer or something and was part of like J. Edgar Hoover's actual secret double life as like a maybe closeted, maybe rumored crossdresser, like et cetera. A lot going on.
Yeah.
So then like the neighbors leave and then Coco is gone for the next scene, like where they're trying to convince him to sleep with her. She's just there. I was like, oh, maybe they're in the bedroom. No, they're in the living room. Coco's just in the backyard. Like she's not.
She's with the dog.
And they're trying to convince him to do this.
They're like, Dad, you got to sleep with this woman. This money is incredible.
Kelly reveals to know a lot about World War II history in France, but, like, slightly wrong.
Right.
Slightly wrong, but also, like, kind of, like smart in the way she, like, makes... Because she said she... I can't remember what the joke is, but she's
There's
like...
There's a good joke about, and that's why they say adieu, which is French for female deer.
Yes.
Which is, like, wrong on at least two different levels.
But, so she gets everything wrong, but, like, she's so good at it. She's so, like, good at stupid smart. Or smart stupid.
It's like she still knew that, like, France surrendered to Germany. And we're like, whoa, okay.
She was always really great about being sincere with her family and Bud, and then they would, like, make fun of her for being sincere. And we're always feeling really bad for her about that, because, we would give my sister a bunch of crap. Like, we would, like, joke with her and poke fun at her. And she would show that we were getting her goat and that made it even more funny and we'd mess with her. So, like, with Kelly, she's always really trusting of her family, except for when she's not and she's really biting. So even though she's dumb and maybe not book smart, she does win a lot on the show. And so that was a scene in this episode where, like, she shows, like, I know some stuff, and then it wraps up with, except for this dumb joke that I just made because I got something wrong. So her characters are really great. Same for Bud. Like, Bud is this weird little pervert.
Bud slaps his dad twice. Yeah. That's when it gets, like, super comical, where he's like, you need to do this. Slap! Yeah. Slap! It's like,
you have to think about this. You want to stick around just being a man made out of fudge?
Yeah.
It's like full-on pot is that a guy made out of fudge.
That sounds good right now. I'm really hungry. So then he's like, yeah, we're going to sell. Then the next scene is Peg, like, packing a suitcase. Because they, like, the limo's here, they're going to a condo.
It feels like there were three pages of the script that they just didn't shoot.
Yes.
It's like, all of a sudden, like, Al is in, like, his underwear, like, his, like, sleep pants and, like, his undershirt on the bed. Peg's packing up, the limo's here, she's going to a condo, and it's like, well, just, you know where to find us. Actually, you don't, because it's a condo or whatever. It's like a nice resort or something.
Yeah.
And then Coco is there.
She walks in with an overcoat on.
So Coco walks in wearing what looks like a giant men's blazer. It's got like a collar on it and it's like down to her knees.
The proportions
and like
are very strange. It's not a trench coat.
No. It looks like she's wearing like Shaquille O'Neal's blazer.
Yes.
Then she takes it off. And she's wearing, so if you read X-Men comics, I feel like there is a scene, I literally remember, there is a scene when they're in the Australian Outback. It's a Mark Silvestri era and Psylocke is wearing her when she was wearing the purple and pink armor, that costume, she takes it off, and underneath, she's wearing just, like, this ridiculous, like, nighty frill thing, and then she goes swimming in it. But anyway.
Fredericks of Hollywood.
Yes, I was just thinking that.
It's a fembot, it is a, like, 90s comic book fembot moment.
Yes.
It is high-cut.
And she has a little, like a cape kind of thing.
There's, it's like a capey type... That also, I feel like, has a strong shoulder.
Yes.
Because it hangs.
Yes.
Well, we need some structure somewhere.
Yeah.
Thing.
Because
put it in the shoulders.
It's a look. It is. It's a.
The cut of the leotard. I don't know what you call it, but it goes up above her hips.
Above her belly button where her hips are, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It's real high.
And yeah, there's ruffles in that whole
area.
There's
a lot of ruffles. There's ruffles on the front.
I don't understand. Like, when I look at those things, I'm like, yeah, okay, you can see a lot of her body, but I don't understand how anyone thought this was
so
sexy.
Like, you're wearing that and you wanna get frisky. At some point, it has to come off.
Yes.
Yeah. How?
How? Like, there's a lot of, like...
Wiggling.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, now, Okay, now, hold on. I gotta push it to the side. It's like, okay. All right, Get the cape off.
And she, like... it's the kind of outfit that if I was watching that show and my mom came in, I would be so much trouble.
Yeah.
Like, I'm definitely watching a softcore porn.
Yeah.
Like, that's why people weren't allowed to watch it.
With a live audience just, like, yelling and losing their mind.
And what's funny, though, is that
the audience you talked about before, those guys are just, like, they're just, like, one railing away from just, like, rampaging the stage.
Yeah, just, like,
they just cannot wait to, like, see her naked. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah. So... for my household, and again, I mean, I'm a girl, so I wouldn't have gotten in trouble for it, but in my household, my dad, I'm going to say, is about, you know, maybe 40% less ridiculous than Al Bundy, but, like, kind of the same thing. Like, he got Playboys, he got Fredericks of Hollywood catalogs.
What?
It was all very, like, he liked naked ladies, and this was fine, and whatever. Yeah. And so, like, that was just, no one tried to hide it from me as a child. Like, no one, like, pushed it upon me, but it was just sort of like, your dad likes ladies.
But this,
like,
kind of
okay.
Thing, but this kind of scene would get moms and mom organizations, like, rallied. And they would send letters in. And it would only make the show more popular because it brought more attention to the show. And
the reason the show became a hit was because they tried, like, the infamous, like, they tried to ban it.
There was, like, a mom in, like, Montana or something?
Yeah,
like
it was, like, one person. Oh, God. I can't remember what episode it was. Oh, no. It was, like, it was, like, early. It was, like, season 3. Like, it literally went from no one watched the show to all of a sudden everyone watched the show and then no one stopped watching the
show.
And
every season they tried to boycott it. They would send her, like, a cake or, like, a present or something like that to say thank you for the rest of their life.
That's a good move.
Yeah.
So, basically, like, Al is kind of, like, doubt-ish. He gets into the bed and he's like, oh, you're on my side. And now, oh, you warmed up my pillow. I need a glass of water. Everything's, like, a little bit weird.
Yeah.
Peg comes in. What does she do immediately?
Gets him a glass of water.
Yep.
Fixes his pillow.
Yep.
I think they're meant to be together, right?
Yeah. This is all they want in life.
She knows what he likes. She gets him some water, and then is like, eh. And then Vanna White's just kind of sitting there in bed, half naked. Which has got to be super awkward, because I bet it's cold in that studio, too. And then she's like, okay, I'm gonna leave. I guess I'll see you guys later. And then her and I'll kind of do this, like, I love you, and then leaves. And you think, oh no, it's going to happen. They're going to have sex. And she busts back in. Yeah. She's like, nuh-uh, that's my name.
All right, get up. Get up. That's my bed and my husband. Here's your check and get out.
Which is actually a page of the TV Guide.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny.
And poor acting Vanna White's like, this is a chat from the TV guy. It's like, oh, God, you can't act. Oh, no.
And then she gives the real check back. And then, this is basically the end of the episode where, so gives the check back, she leaves, they make, like, Peg and Al, like, make up, then they immediately get back into bed and recreate the first scene of the episode where they're like, turn off the light, mm-hmm. They get into their side. So here's what I want. So... where are the kids out front in a limousine?
Still.
Are they on the way to the condo still?
Wait, yeah, oh, the kids are in the condo, I'm sure, like, tearing it up.
Yeah, because, well, like, the limo's, like, honking for them before the scene begins.
Yeah.
Peg has on her high heels.
And she does not take them off.
She gets
in bed with everything.
She also has on the tightest pants ever. Like, there's no way you
can
lay down.
She let her hair down. She can get a glass of water for herself.
Yeah, time and space work very strangely on this.
It is so funny.
She's like, I'm like, it's like if right now in the middle of this, you're like, we're going to bed. I'm like, okay. And I just like,
yeah.
And all the clothes that I have on, and I didn't take anything.
Also, like, who's going to see Coco out? What does she bring? Like, she's literally just like in a nighty outside that door.
Yeah.
Has free reign of the house, I guess.
Right. Well, we know by the end that Coco, as she exits, says in a very poorly acted line and she's gonna go buy Ben and Jerry's. And
yes. Like, oh God! Like, are you gonna have some ice cream?
So, no, I'm gonna go buy Ben and Jerry's, presumably for sex.
Yeah, the two men that run like, Ben and Jerry.
I didn't know if that was supposed to be a sex thing or like a power thing. Like, I'm so powerful, I can buy the symbol sadness.
No, she said I'm gonna go buy Ben and Jerry.
Not Ben and Jerry's.
So yeah, it's just like what a great
two gigolos named Ben and Jerry.
Yeah, but yeah, the episode has everything that's great about the Bundys. It's got the neighbors, it's got the family, it's got the kids messing with each other, it's got Peg and Al bickering, it's got Al at his shoe store and he's mean to an overweight woman, which always happens in the shoe store. It's got Al remembering something differently and the possibility they could get out of their situation and they don't because something goes wrong. And all wrapped up in a story where eventually you find out, like, oh, they all actually like each other. The family likes each other.
They do like each other, but I do, I kind of really wished, like, because Peg's the one who comes in and is like, leave him alone. I kind of really wanted Al to be like, I mean, he hints at it. He hints that he's clearly not super into this.
Yeah, he was never really they had to convince him to do it, you know.
He really only seemed to want the bragging rights of, like, this woman saying, like, yes, we had sex in the past.
Yeah.
But he didn't have any interest in having sex with her now.
Yeah. In hindsight, when I was talking to you guys about this episode, I thought that Al did. I thought Al instigated the no. But, yeah, Al doesn't. If given 5 more minutes, Al would have had sex with
her. I would have gone to Bone Zone, but then $500,000.
Yeah, they'd be great. They would be so well off. Anyways.
I don't know, guys. Are you ready for some must-have facts about this episode?
Yeah.
It's an illusion. Try, and you will only come to this conclusion, love and marriage.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So, ratings! Guess how many people watched this episode of television?
50,000? Is that too low?
21 million?
Whoa. 19.4 million people.
19.4 million
people? Yeah, 19.4 million people watched this episode of television.
It's not like TV today.
Yeah.
It was different then.
So for the week, this was ranked 19th for the week.
Huh.
The top 5 shows of the week, which listeners will recognize as top 5. Number 5 was Roseanne.
Hmm.
Number 4 was Home Improvement. Mm-hmm. 3 was Seinfeld. 2 was Last Call, Cheers, and number 1 was the Cheers finale.
What's Last Call, Cheers?
Yeah,
it was the special that aired after Cheers.
What did they do on this special?
Is it behind-the-scenes stuff?
Oh, no, it was a special before, I think. Last Call was a special before, where it was like a retrospective. Maybe an interview, I think.
Are you telling me...
Wait, was this a regular show, or just like a one-time
thing? No, it was a one-time. Because it was the series finale of Cheers.
Are you telling me this is the same week as the series finale of Cheers?
And also the same week, because...
Is that how you chose this episode?
No, a couple weeks ago, I did Full House Goes to Disney World, also the same week.
What?
So in the same week of television, Full House went to Disney World, Al almost had sex with Vanna White, and Cheers ended.
Was it Sweeps Week?
I mean, this is May. This is the season finale time.
Is that the episode of Full House where DJ thinks that her boyfriend is hooking up with somebody else, but it's his cousin?
No. That's the episode where DJ thinks that Steve is Indiana Jones.
Yes.
Wait, he's not?
No. He is Aladdin, though, actually.
Yes.
So that is insane. And now I'll say it again. So the series finale of Cheers was watched by 80.4 million people.
Oh, my
God.
Wow,
okay.
Is it the highest ever?
No, MASH finale. But also, I think things might have... Like, the Super Bowl this year was watched by, like, 98 million.
Whoa.
So...
Really?
Yeah.
We watched it. It was awful. It
was I hate football, and I hated that.
I hated it.
I can tolerate.
We made dip when we sat down to watch it, and we both hated it.
The game was awful. The commercials were boring.
That's the other thing. It's like the halftime specials. Halftime show were garbage.
Oh, God. I was angry the whole halftime show. I was just raging at the TV.
Yeah.
I was like,
why did he take his shirt off? He
looked like, garbage. He looked so upsetting.
Absolutely bad. It's not my favorite thing.
So the Fox Sunday night lineup of this time, which is insane. So, like, Fox started an hour earlier. They started their prime time at like 7. They still do.
Oh.
Yeah. So they had 4 hours
of
content on Sunday night.
Wait, can I interject a thought?
Yeah.
So this was another thing that like my young brain, because Fox didn't air the news.
No. Until like the late 90s.
Right. Yeah. And so when I was a kid, it was like the news would start, because I lived, you know, Central Time. The news would start at 6. And I'd be like, oh, the news. But I could turn on Fox, and they were showing regular TV.
Yeah.
So again, in my brain, I was like, Fox is cool / dumb.
Yeah.
Because they don't show the news.
Yeah, they don't give a shit.
Right.
So the Fox of that lineup at this time, get ready for, it's just so many shows. Parker Lewis. Something called Shaky Ground.
Right.
In Living Color.
Yes.
Rock.
Whoa. What's
Married with Children. Mm-hmm. Herman's Head.
Yes.
Yes.
Flying Blind. And The Edge. So a lot of these shows only lasted one season. The one that I think is the most interesting is The Edge, which was another sketch show. So again, Fox had 4 hours, 8 half-hour shows. 2 of them are sketch shows.
What?
Whatever.
It's so weird that the sketch shows were not next to each other.
Yeah. And so the sketch show starred MTV personality Julie Brown.
Whoa.
Not downtown Julia Brown, but the Valley Girl redhead Julie Brown. Wayne Knight, Newman from Seinfeld.
Wow.
Oh.
And Jennifer Aniston.
What?
So this it only lasted 18 episodes.
It's called The Edge.
And apparently Wikipedia says that a recurring theme was the entire cast getting killed before the first commercial break. Like getting run over by a bus, something like things like that.
Oh my
that.
God. So that sounds awesome.
And
I love
it's
that.
Wild to think Jennifer Aniston was on that.
Yeah.
She tried out for SNL, which I also like. Jennifer Aniston was actually like a comedian. And, like, you know, which is
She's
great.
Funny.
I love
Did
her.
Did she ever do stand up?
No, but I think she's just like a comedic actress, but she is all like an improv. Like, Lisa Kudrow was a groundling or what? Like, she was like, came up with Conan O'Brien doing like sketch and improv. But like, Courtney Cox and Jennifer Aniston seem like actors
who are
funny.
Yeah.
So that's wild. That's also like, I know Parker Lewis and I know Herman's Head.
Yeah.
But Rock. Rock was about a.
The Rock was on for 3 years. It was on for 3 years.
Yeah, it was the guy who was the he helped on Alien 3. He helped.
Charles S. Dutton.
Yes.
Oh.
He was convicted of murder at one point.
Wait, IRL?
Yeah, IRL.
Yeah.
Wait. Is that wait when?
Before acting, like he.
Oh, okay. So we knew this.
Yeah.
You're like, it's fine.
If it's before he was famous, fine.
Yeah.
After, oh boy.
Oh no, what happened? Jeez. Yeah.
So on IMDb, 306 users rated this episode an 8.1 out of 10.
Huh.
Higher, lower, seem right on the money.
I mean, for the show, I'd say it's pretty
that
good, right.
Scene where Kelly passes out twice in a row, trusting Bud.
It is pretty good.
So funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, like, I know it's a really weird scene, but I'm kind of really entertained by, like, all of them smelling Vanna White. Like, it's so weird, but, like, if that were a scene in a different show, like, now, like, on, like, an Adult Swim show or, like, a Broad City show or something, it would be great. It would be, like, hilarious.
Yeah.
Who would you say had the must-see performance in this episode?
Ooh.
Not Vanna White.
No.
Anti-Man.
And I feel like not Al either. He just kind of phoned it in.
Al's got this weird... He's a weird monster. He, like, scrunches up his brow. And
I think there's this weird thing of, like, Ed O'Neill default is not unattractive.
Yeah.
Like...
He just makes himself that way.
And he makes himself look that way via doing weird shit with his face constantly.
He frowns and pushes his teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah, he makes his... It feels like he makes his eyes so close together... And, like, his mouth so far up. It's just upsetting.
Yeah, it's an affect.
But I would say probably, in this episode, Christina Applegate, specifically.
Yeah, between
the fall and then when she talks about the World War II stuff. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say.
It's a good bit, yeah.
Yeah. She gets it.
Yeah. Agreed.
Yeah.
But I feel like she gets it a lot. Like, I feel like...
Right.
In this show, she's just like a really great.
Also, she's so great on Friends.
Yes.
I sometimes think about just sending flowers to the casting director that cast Reese Witherspoon and Christina Applegate as Jennifer Aniston's sister.
I'm so kind of bummed because it's like, if I could think of like spinoffs, like if I could have a spinoff of like just that family that's just doing shit.
Also the fact that Reese Witherspoon and Jennifer Aniston are doing this like super long in development Apple like morning news show drama show. I'm like, no, guys. We want you to play the Green Sisters.
Yes. Speaking of spinoffs.
Bring in Christina Applegate. We're good.
Speaking of spinoffs, one of the spinoffs from Married with Children was a Matt LeBlanc show.
What?
Where it was him and his dad. I think he showed up on Married with Children dating Kelly. And then leaves and he goes back to his apartment with his dad. That show didn't work out. I think it was only like 7 episodes. So they spun that off.
What?
Into another show with Matt LeBlanc and a buddy of his, so like two Italian goofballs. So yeah, I think in total it was like maybe 9 or 10 episodes.
We gotta track these down.
Two different shows that spun off of Married with Children starring Friends Matt.
I think the pre-Friends career of all 6 of them is fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Like Lisa Kudrow appeared in the series finale of Newhart as like one of the two non-speaking Daryls.
Right.
She's like one of their girlfriends in like the end episode. And I think Bob Newhart disliked her. So then in his next sitcom, Bob, she comes back as, like, a kind of recurring character. As, like, a really, like, weird, nerdy girl. And she's hilarious in it.
Huh.
And it's like, I love that. And then she got Friends. Well, then she got Mad About You.
Which they carried over to Friends, which was such a good, like...
And she was also...
She got that before Friends?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's why they, like, add her in. Because, like... They straight up like have her have a twin sister and then they do that whole bit and she's just like the character from Mad About You. And then at one point, Paul Reiser and Helen Hunt
comes in. Helen Hunt, her little friend, she's a short lady. I don't know what her name is. They come into the Central Perk and they see Phoebe there and they're just like, is that her? And they walk over and it's like, can we get a seat? And then Phoebe's like, yeah, whatever. And turns around, it's like, yeah, that's her.
Yeah.
And then also Phoebe, Lisa Kudrow, was originally cast as Roz on Frasier. I think Mad About You and Frasier might have started at the same time. She was cast as Roz on Frasier. They, like, shot the pilot into the table read, and it did not work, and she was fired.
Huh.
And then I think she got Mad About You, and then she got Friends. So, Lisa Kudrow's over. Must other people see this episode of Married with Children?
I think if you're interested in Married with Children, this is a good one to watch.
Yeah, Ricky just basically gave the sales pitch of like it has everything you need.
I think it covers everything. There are other episodes that are also fantastic. But if I had to put together a top 10 list of episodes for people to watch who have never seen the show before, not to get them to continue watching the show, just be like, this is what the show's about.
Yeah.
This would be in the top 10.
Okay.
There are a handful of other ones I listed to you guys before that I also stand by. But like... This is one of my favorites. Yeah, for a bunch of different reasons. But it does really kind of capture what the show's about, for sure.
And now, for the last segment... Gotta actually probably get this out before I move. Okay, let's read from the great TV sitcom book by Rick Mitz.
Wait, does this go up to...
This is a huge textbook-sized book about every sitcom that aired between 1949 and 1983.
I want to smell it.
We will read about one and talk about one that never made it.
Oh.
Pick a year between 1949 and
1983.
82. 81? 82.
No, we'll go with
82. 82. 82. That was Ricky's birth year. Okay. Do you want to hear about Filthy Rich?
Filthy Rich.
Oh, okay. Go for it. This summer spoof on Dallas was an instant hit, and an almost as instant flop. When CBS aired several episodes of the sitcom during the summer of 1981, the ratings went through the roof, number one of the Nielsens. Reviewers were aghast because they thought the show was so dreadful and so many people were watching it. They got their retribution when they still thought the show was dreadful during the 82-83 season, but few enough people were watching it to jeopardize its existence. Here's what all the fuss was about. An old southern codger, Slim Pickens, dies and leaves his fortune to his illegitimate son, Wild Bill Westchester, played by Jerry Hardin, and his harebrained wife, Bootsy, played by Anne Wedgeworth, formerly of Three's Company. Prior to his death, the old goat had videotaped his will, and we got to see all his loony heirs gather at his Memphis mansion and bicker about the loot. Naturally, the family doesn't get along, but the deceased stipulated that they must get along or no dough. His widow Kathleen, Delta Burke, is not amused by any of this, especially the fact that Wild Bill got the money. That night, Bill and Bootsy are celebrating in their bedroom, lustily whooping it up. Carlotta, the head vamp and money grubber played by Dixie Carter, says, I'm going to call the animal shelter and have them taken away. Carlotta has no time for Kathleen's complaints and says, spare us the hysterics. If sex were fast food, you'd have an arch over your head. Said the New York Times, Filthy Rich has the distinction of being the most vulgar and raunchy new show of the season, but not for long. Keep reading. I don't know why it says keep reading, but whatever.
Ugh.
There's no more. So
that sounds terrible.
Yeah.
But good for Delta Burke. She stuck it out.
Yeah, she survived that.
Yeah. Zonny Lynn was nearby.
Yeah. Would you guys watch a reboot of Filthy Rich?
Yeah,
honestly, that's a doesn't sound like Arrested Development. Like,
It would depend on the cast. Yeah. The cast and the showrunner. I might be into that.
Yeah.
That could be fun.
Yeah.
I mean, like, Schitt's Creek's doing great. Yeah. You know.
Or if it was about vampires. Think about that. Everything you just said, but you're
like,
vampires.
If it was Filthy Rich and it was about pigs.
Yeah.
They're filthy, like, it's like animographic pigs.
Animographic.
Anamorphic. Wait. Anthropomorphic?
No, anamorphic is good.
Or animorphs.
Animorphs.
They turned it from kids to pigs. Like,
what if we just watched Animorphs?
So, yeah, guys, Filthy Rich begat Designing Women, which begat Animorphs.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's very logical.
So, where can people find y'all online if they want to talk about my southern accent that comes when I read about Memphis? Married with Children or just other things?
Sam's at...
I'm Samcorn, like as in unicorn, but with a Sam, on Instagram and Twitter. Chat me up.
What? And I'm on Twitter at Ricky Purdin, RickeyPurdin, right? It's just pretty basic.
Yeah, that's how you spell your name.
That's where I'm at.
Hell yeah.
Let's talk about it.
And that does it for this episode of Must Have Seen TV. Thanks again to my guests, Sam Walker and Ricky Purdin, for dropping by and talking about Married with Children with me. Next time, I'll be discussing the Gilligan's Island episode, Pass the Vegetables, Please. Pass the Vegetables, Please is in Season 3 of Gilligan's Island. It is Episode 3 of Season 3. And you can stream Gilligan's Island on Amazon Prime Video. Until then, I want to hear from all of you. Tweet at me at MustHaveSeenTV. And you can also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram, Facebook and Tumblr at MustHaveSeenTV. If you like what you've heard, please review the show in Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Brett White. Read the words that I write at Decider.com. The theme song is Apollo Throwdown by The Go Team. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to all y'all for listening, and I'll see you next time on Must Have Seen TV.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.